The sound of Ty Bachman, and she's so kind. And with me in the studio right now on this Thursday, the 3rd of October, 2024, at exactly 2:30 in the afternoon for the start of the afternoon show, I'm very honoured to be welcoming Councillor Privy Makan to the afternoon show for not the first time, certainly, and hopefully not the last time. It's nice to engage with you, Privy. Always welcome.
Good afternoon, Dave, and good afternoon to the listeners of 88FM. It's my honor to be on your afternoon show. Thank you.
Well, you had an interesting session in council yesterday, and you sent out, was the day before yesterday?
Yesterday.
Yeah. You sent out a kind of circular outlining the issues, and the issues are serious, and we thought it was an opportunity to just widen the circle of information, because if you're listening to this on FM, you're local. If you're listening via the web or the stream, possibly not so local, but still interesting topic nonetheless. And just to paraphrase and put it into the set, there are matters regarding the public purse. And particularly in our Guadaguza local municipality, there is a large grant of 1.2 billion rand, generally for flood relief, etc., etc. That was what it was earmarked for. Those responsible, however, for administering that money seem to be not necessarily playing the game as it was designed to be played, or certainly one would hope that it would be played. And I think that's where you come in.
Yes. Dave, as most of the members of the public and certainly ratepayers and civic bodies would be aware, in 2023, Guadaguza were given quite a large tranche of money from National Treasury to implement flood relief projects. So it was a total of 401 projects that should have been implemented, and the amount that Guadaguza local municipality got was in two tranches. So initially they got 109 million. And the 109 million, I think, came in July 2022. And then they got a further 1.2 billion. And that is a significant amount for a local municipality. Obviously, the projects were quantified and some of the projects were implemented. But the element of malice in this whole thing is, as a portfolio committee, we've been requesting reports so council can play their oversight in terms of how projects are being implemented, how projects are rolling out. And there's been an overwhelming resistance from officials to provide these reports.
And why?
I always say I'm not going to sit here and cast aspersions, but actually today I am. Obviously, there is an element of corruption and malfeasance in this entire thing. Because if there was no element of that, there should be zero resistance from officials to provide reports.
Because these are public funds on a public platform, if you like, or in a public forum, and legally they have to present the information that you're looking for.
Well, Section 79 committees of council are your actual oversight committees. So we are tasked with the responsibility of ensuring that the public purse is actually being utilized for services to the public. And when officials have this glaring resistance to provide reports, citing excuses such as, because it's 401 projects, it's going to be a hell of a lot of paper. It's never been an excuse previously, because we read council agendas which are over 1,000 pages. So there's been a lot of excuses around it, specifically, Dave, on projects where the Auditor General, for example, has flagged projects. There's projects that I've spoken about on this show, like the Hewlett Bridge, which was handed over in February last year, 30 million rand project that still isn't completed. So I'm very unclear in terms of why officials would be unwilling or have an unwillingness to provide reports if there was nothing nefarious happening on that.
So you have suspicions, and no doubt if one was to dig deeper, you would be able to uncover documentary evidence to that effect. Why so far have you not gone that route?
So Dave, we've tried multiple mechanisms. From engaging officials directly, writing to the municipal manager. I've gone to the extent of writing to the Auditor General, and we actually did receive a response from the Auditor Auditor General, who...
There he is responding to you right now.
It probably is the AG. There we go. Actually, it's probably the municipal manager. No, the municipal manager is not going to respond to me. Dave, so we've even written to the Auditor General to the point where the AG has actually come back and done an investigation on one of the bridges. So possibly we will start seeing things coming to light, but we simply can't sit back and just allow, you know, the public purse or funds to go into a bottomless pit.
No, look, it's a major concern, because that sort of money, one can do a tremendous amount of good with in so many instances where there are serious issues that one could just literally, with a little bit of extra cash, begin to resolve quite successfully and significantly. 1.2 billion rand is an awfully large amount of money, and with that, clearly the rebuilding that needed to be done could have been done by now, I'm quite confident, and certainly going forward, if there is any money left, there's going to be no doubt an opportunity for council to get stuck in with service delivery on a meaningful and substantial basis, hence the reason to ensure that whatever capital is still available is maybe possibly brought into under public scrutiny. And if there's money that's been stolen, presumably there is still an opportunity to recover that. I believe that's kind of the way forward.
I think it's a combination. And it's also to ensure that those that are tasked with protecting the public purse actually do that.
Okay.
So officials, for example, actually I'll refer to them as deployees because actually that's what they are. That deployees in strategic positions, specifically in the civil engineering business unit, they are tasked with the responsibility of implementing these projects. That's all they need to do.
Right.
And it's currently not happening, or it's not happening at the rate that it should have been happening at. Because, Dave, if you look, so if you reflect, with 1.2 billion, or there's probably about 400 million still left, with the 800 million that's been spent, you should be able to see tangible change in so many communities across Kwadugusa.
Yes, exactly. That's what I was referring to.
And we're not really seeing that.
Yes. Yeah. So here is the question, Privy. You you hold public office, and clearly you have an idea that all is far from well with regard to this matter. Where to from you have engaged with the Auditor General to a degree. They've come back on one project very slowly. I thought that with men like Francois Rogers, who you brought in for, you know, with you for a chat recently before the change of guard, and now he's in a very prominent position in the province, would this not be a direct line to a much higher office, if you like?
It absolutely is, Dave. So we, like I said, we are going to be exploring every mechanism at our disposal to ensure that public funds are spent on the public. But an interesting development happened in council yesterday, and that's obviously the media release that you saw. And it goes back to the point that I made earlier about deployees or people being placed in strategic positions in order to ensure that public funds are not necessarily spent on the public. So yesterday...
Does that mean that these people are... It's a cabal of criminality, of corruption and enrichment?
So there's no doubt that there's an element of self-enrichment happening. And okay. I actually believe that there's an element of state capture at a local government level.
Okay. Should one not then be laying charges accordingly? Or laying complaints for investigation and for charges then to be laid, if such are proven?
If they are proven. So we are ventilating this on a public platform for now, and I'll expand on it. So when the item came, there was an item that was brought to the council yesterday, and this item spoke to converting the position of the Director Project Management Unit, who is currently tasked with implementing the 401 projects, converting that position from a contract position to a permanent post. Now, if someone has not performed in 5 years, what would the motivation be to convert that post, firstly, from a contract to a permanent post, knowing also very well that that position is actually not internally funded. That post is funded based on grants. And if you're not spending a grant, there's a potential you're not going to get a grant going down the line.
Sure.
How are you going to fund the position?
It becomes a drain on the ratepayer.
Absolutely. The municipal manager then went on to quote, and it is my considered view that he attempted to mislead the council into making the wrong decision. He quoted vague legislation. It was not presented to us. But the positive outcome of that, Dave, was that the council, for one of the very few times, we synergized and we aligned on a position to ensure that this post did not become a permanent position. Because I believe that
so
the incumbent...
So there was a uniting or a unifying of disparate political parties in common cause, really, to make sure that, well, in this case, the right thing was done.
Absolutely.
So it's almost like a coalition, with an informal coalition taking place. That is very positive.
Well, it is positive, but we don't have a government of local unity. Let me just clarify that from the onset.
No. But I'm talking about in principle.
But it was great because we synergized and we aligned on a position for the bigger picture, and the bigger picture is protecting the public purse. Having said that, we are still of the view if that incumbent ends up getting that position, we as a political party will be initiating lifestyle audits.
We're going to
approach the relevant authorities to initiate lifestyle audits on the civil engineering business unit in Quadiguza.
Why don't you do that anyway?
We have been calling on it, and it is definitely something that we are going to be exploring now, Dave.
Well, I wish you
more strength
to the bows that fire the arrows, because I think it's very encouraging, really, to... I think winds of change have been blowing for a while now. Already there is a huge amount of investor confidence. I was chatting to someone who was in a conference with the very senior business leader in our community who was incredibly excited about the fact that the economy is working again, and the optimism locally, nationally, internationally is tangible. There are so many anecdotal stories that one can quote, because the mainstream media carries tales of gloom and doom constantly. That's grist to the mill. But in reality, business, local business, seems to be, in certain quarters, not every quarter, but certainly there is a very strong upward trend now. And if one can stay the course, the future looks extremely bright. But it's incumbent now on our public officials like yourself and those that are unofficially coalescing around these points of principle for good governance, that we support, we as the private sector, support your initiative. And I suppose by coming on the air on a public platform, as you say, to air these issues, they become common cause for all of us, in the sense that information is vital here and that the right next steps can be followed. I presume the ratepayers and Residents and Ratepayers Association, DOCRA, has already engaged with you, or certainly you've discussed with them what may be, I presume, of benefit in terms of their support.
Absolutely. And, you know, Dave, we must never, ever dilute the role of strong civic bodies. And I love that about our community, that we have so many active citizens, and DOCRA and other civic bodies, and even business like the Chamber of Commerce. They get behind real causes. And specifically, and you made the point earlier around points of principle, and I think it's important to have a unified voice around that.
What one doesn't want to do, though, is plunge the administration into some sense of, what is the word? There is a technical term that when something becomes dysfunctional, it's suspended until such
administration.
Time. Administration. There we go. We don't want to go there, because apparently that then freezes everything for a period of time.
No, absolutely. But I think, Dave, you've only got to look at the current political landscape in Quadiguza. And I mean, you've been following it. You've been following exactly what's happening with the issues around political leadership and leadership vacuum. And we're not saying that the municipality should go under administration, but what we are saying is that those that are in positions of power and those that are tasked with the responsibility of implementing projects and being the custodians of the public purse should be held accountable.
Because there was an opportunity a while back for a vote of no confidence at one stage. It looked like the, it could have happened.
Are we talking about that again,
Dave? No, we're not. Okay, I'm just suggesting that it was that was on the cards as a possibility. And there was a huge caveat around that because of the fact that it would then possibly place the administration, or the put the municipality under administration, and that would be disastrous for all of us. So I think ultimately that's not necessarily where you want to go.
No, all we're asking for is stable political leadership, and we're asking for, if there is a leadership vacuum in Kwadugusa, which currently, as you know, there is, there's no mayor and there's no deputy mayor, you've been following that. We're asking for a stable political landscape, a stable council, stable administration.
How can you fast track that? Because at the moment, the mayor is not officially ousted. In fact, the ANC has made a public statement that she is no longer a member of the party and no longer acts in a capacity representing them. Therefore, she can no longer be the mayor because they appointed her in the first place. But they haven't written to council to that effect. Apparently, no document has been received. So the de facto mayor is still the mayor, even though politically she's out in the wilderness. But she's still operating on leave, on full pay. No one can replace her. Nothing can happen. Surely there's a way through this.
Yeah, Dave. You know, in true ANC style, you know, they ventilate things out there without actually formalizing anything. So basically, what has happened is, on Saturday, there was a very public statement circulated on multiple platforms indicating that the mayor had been suspended. And her suspension would entail not being able to chair, not being able to be a member of council or not participate in council meetings, and not carry out any political activity. And obviously with the ANC, everything is very, very complex. The process from there on should have been that the political party in question should have written to the municipal manager and the speaker, indicating that this member of their political party and member of council, their deployee, has been suspended. The municipal manager then should have brought an item to council, indicating that this member of the political party and this deployee is no longer a member of council. Following which, so whether it was a special council meeting or whatever it was, following which, within 14 days, a new mayor should be elected. And it's worrying, Dave, because there's obviously a leadership vacuum, whether the ANC fulfill the role of leadership or not. But there's no deputy mayor currently in Kwadugusa, as you know, and there's no mayor. And the Structures Act, Section 53, is very, very specific in terms of the functions of the mayor and the delegation of powers that a mayor passes down. So now the mayoral imbizos are going to be starting on the 8th of October, which entail extensive community participation in the run-up to the budget next year. The mayor's not going to be there to chair that. The EXCO meeting that was scheduled for Tuesday, which the mayor chairs, was not able to sit purely because there is no mayor. We officially, as the opposition, have written to the speaker urging her to call a special council meeting and take us into the confidence and let us know exactly what is going on and what the way forward is. To date, we've received no response.
It's curious that in this modern day, this age of modern communication, you're still writing letters. Surely it's a phone call or WhatsApp, an instant communication. Well, there should be no reason for this long delay. In the past, yes, it was in the mail, and you know you could get away with it, but not anymore.
So, Dave, for me, it's a combination. Certainly, I've had informal engagements by way of WhatsApp and telephone call. But I think it's also important to formalize communication, because we certainly, as the official opposition and the government in waiting in Kwadugusa, do not follow in the same vein as the ANC, where we issue out public statements without any formal paper trails.
All I'm saying is that, you know, clearly communication shouldn't take this long.
It should
long.
Be instantaneous.
And electronic communication is legally binding anyway. It holds up in court.
Well, if you send a letter to the speaker via email, surely they should be responding immediately.
Absolutely.
But
an electronic WhatsApp or one of those messages is, you know, it holds up under scrutiny because there are all sorts of mechanisms to verify whether it's authentic or not. So you're getting nowhere. Well, you're not getting nowhere, but it's taking forever and it's of major concern. How do you fast track it?
Dave, I think saying that it's taking forever is like not entirely correct, because it's been 3 days. We did have a full sitting of council yesterday, which unfolded very, very smoothly. So from a council perspective, there's no real vacuum as such, but from an
EXCO, you said there was
but from an EXCO perspective and from the delegation of powers and the functions, other functions that the mayor should be fulfilling, yes, there is a vacuum there.
And 3 days is forever.
3 days is a long time. There's no, okay, let's agree on that. 3 days is a long time. We are going to be doing a formal follow-up with the office of the speaker tomorrow morning and the municipal manager. And we will obviously be exploring other options following which, yeah.
Well, it's good to know that there are, shall we say, there are agents looking after the interests of all of us that are in council right now, concerned about the status quo, working hard to bring about a sense of, shall we say, replacement, I'd like that term, replacing what was with what might be and what might well be better going forward. With regard to the public purse that is being, at this point in time, well, shall we say there is a great suspicion that it's being squandered. Where to from here with that? You've got calls out to who?
Dave, certainly the civic bodies, we have lobbied civic bodies to stand behind us. And we are going to be exploring the option of engaging the MEC for finance.
So the civic bodies being among them, DOCRA, and DOCRA. I heard yesterday that they're looking very seriously at legal challenges now in
Absolutely.
That regard, and they have the wherewithal to bring that to pass. And I certainly believe that with the support that is now being enjoyed by these civic bodies, there will be definitely enough in the kitty to proceed and hopefully to reach a very satisfactory outcome. So I think it's all extraordinarily positive when you look at it this way. And by coming on air and explaining in great detail, as you have done, what the issues are, those that ultimately have to give the thumbs up to such action might be more willing to do so than if there was no information available. So thank you for that.
Thank you so much, Dave. I think, yeah, it's a very exciting time in local government, certainly, because we are going to be going to a local government election in 2026. And it's an opportune time as for us as the opposition, for the public to actually see that we are the pillars of good governance, yeah. And we are
and
we epitomizing that in other municipalities.
You know,
yes.
Preeby, I've been outspoken about the fact that, you know, that one can never be too complacent in the world that we live in by simply believing that because people have always supported a particular ideal that they're going to do that forever. No, I think the age of simply blindly, almost religiously following mm-hmm. a certain dictum is gone. People are now looking for action and results, and whoever delivers those will get the support. So very cool of you to come on air, and I extend that invitation to you to return with whenever you need to spread the gospel and hopefully bring us some good news. We need that.
Wonderful. I appreciate the platform. Thank you so much, Dave.
My very special guest, Councillor Preeby McCann, and this will be up as a podcast shortly. If you missed the entire conversation, you'll be able to catch up that way via our app, and you can find it on the website as well under lifeandstyle.co.za. And the afternoon show continues.